Welcome. We're glad you're here. You're about to hear the teaching of Pastor Randy Castillo from Harvest Bible Church in Mojave Valley, Arizona. Please enjoy our website at hbcaz.org. So get ready. Find your Bible. Open your heart. Here is Pastor Randy.
To us, Father, we thank you. Your faithfulness is so wonderful and overwhelming and a blessing. And Lord, now we want to learn how we can be faithful to you. Lord, that is what you desire. And that's what we desire, Lord, one day to stand before you and hear, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord." So, Father, we pray that you would speak to us tonight. We pray that we would glean all that we can and that we would be challenged. Lord, we love you, praise you, and honor you in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Awesome. You may be seated. Good evening. How y'all doing? Awesome. All right. Well, give you a quick rundown. Tomorrow we have a night of truth. Yeah. But I want to tell you, we're going to start promptly at 6. So you don't want to be scurrying in, moseying in after 6, because we'll already be knee deep. We're going to pray and we're just going to get right to it. So I encourage you to come early. Grab a seat. I'm going to try and get most of the people in this area because I want you to be able to ask questions. Maybe we'll have a few over there, but this is what it's going to be like. So this is kind of awkward. We were hoping to have everyone sit here because we're going to have some time of interaction where you'll be able to ask questions. So tomorrow, 6 o'clock, we start. 6, prayer, boom, in there, gone, done. Ooh, okay. All right. Saturday, we have praise, prayer, and potluck in the parking lot. And I'll tell you, we have a lot of people who signed up. So I'm super excited that it's just going to be a great time. Don't forget, we start that at 1. Hot dogs, hamburgers, and you bring a side dish or just come. There will be plenty of food, trust me. And then, of course, we'll have prayer time. And praise, the praise will be out there. It's super, super cool. And then, of course, Sunday. Yay, go Sunday. Back to Revelation. Hey, by the way, Club T2 will meet again Thursday, October 15th at 6 o'clock right across the street there, across the parking lot in the other building. And if you want any more information, you can talk to Dave. He's seated right there. He was singing with that really low voice. Yeah, it's awesome. I'm jealous. Okay. I sound like this. He's like, he's like a man. I'm a man. And I'm like, I'm a boy. Hey. So anyways, I'm sorry. It's going to be one of those evenings, folks. I hope you hang on. So anyways, yeah, that's for 65 and older. And of course, we also have access and 55. Yeah, I can't drive 55. I should remember that. Yes. All right. All right. All right, so with that, if you need a Bible, the ushers will put one in your hand. We are going to springboard off of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, so you can start there. We're going to be all over the place. I've entitled our message, "Evangelism Isn't a Bad Word." And for a lot of people, you would think it was a bad word, both inside and outside the church. Now, let's pray. Father, we thank you that your word is alive, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, we thank you that you have commissioned us to be representatives and to go out and share the good news. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would be here this evening in our time in your word and that we would all grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, on Sunday, you know, we're in the book of Revelation. You ever wonder what's the point of Revelation? Well, there's two points. The main point is the revelation that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's the main point. However, there's a second point, and that's this. As you look in the Old Testament, every time that a prophet was sent to the people of Israel, it was to bring warning of God's impending judgment. That's what revelation is as well. Revelation is to show us that there's these signs, these things that are transpiring, these things that will happen. Also to tell us how bad and how intense God's judgment can be. God, and by the way, God always warns before judgment. He always does. So, if we realize that, and by the way, we look around the world today, we could say, I guess God is warning. There's warning signs all over, boop, boop, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow. But tonight, what should be our response as we're going through the book of Revelation? What should be our response as we see God's warning? What should it be? Well, it should be that we recognize that evangelism is not a bad word. In fact, evangelism should be what is on the heart of every believer. So, Ephesians 6:19, and we will springboard off of that. In fact, if you don't mind, I'm going to add verse 18. This was an afterthought, but let's look at it. Verse 19, 18 and 19. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel. So notice in verse 18, first of all, we know this. First of all, we recognize that Paul is asking for more boldness. But then we notice in verse 18 that he says, hey, praying always with all prayer. Notice he says with all prayer. What does he mean by that? He says use every possible type of prayer. That's group prayer, individual prayer, silent prayer, spoken loud prayer, walking prayer, kneeling prayer, eloquent prayer, groaning prayer, constant prayer, fervent prayer. Hey, just pray. That's the point. He says with all prayer. And so, if I were to ask, and I'm not asking, but if I were to ask who here wants to go to hell, I pray that no one raises their hand. It'd be kind of weird if you did, but yay. But how many of your friends or family members do you think would say, yes, I want to go to hell? None of them. Nobody says they want to go to hell. Even people who don't believe in heaven and hell won't say they want to go to hell. So most of them, I think, would say no. But how many of those friends and family members that you know that would say no, they don't want to go to hell, how many of them know Jesus? I can venture to say that most of us, if not all of us, know people that are not saved. I love this. One person says, a personal soul winner gets more results with tears in their eyes than arguments on their lips. We should be heartbroken over those that we know who are not saved. It should break our heart. It should move us to tears when we recognize what it truly, truly means. Now, there are two kinds of Christians, brothers and sisters. There are two kinds of Christians. Those who talk about the lost and those who talk to the lost about Jesus. In fact, research shows that far less than 10% of those who believe in Jesus, or should I say claim to believe in Jesus, are actually actively sharing their faith. Why? Well, because fears. Everyone has fears. Fears of rejection, fears of ridicule, we don't want to offend people. Oftentimes people say, well, my life isn't good enough. I don't know enough about the Bible. Or how about just plain simple, I'm not a good evangelist. That's some of the excuses. Now, I want you to understand, maybe you're here today and you say you have fear of sharing your faith. Guess what? Paul had fear at times. He did. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. He says this, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3 through 5. I was with you in weakness and, he says, in fear, with much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Listen, although fear is a norm for mankind, it is not the desire of God for our lives. God doesn't want us to live in fear. He doesn't. In fact, 2 Timothy, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, a young man in the faith, someone he led to the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." God has given us power. How? Well, He put His Holy Spirit in us. God has given us a sound mind. I didn't have a sound mind before I was saved. You're thinking, well, you don't have one now, but it's much better. I've gotten better. It was worse before, if you can imagine. It was far worse. But see, Paul is asking for prayer that he would speak more boldly, because there were times he had fear. There were times when Paul wasn't bold. That's why he says in Ephesians 6:19, our main verse, "And for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mysteries of the gospel." See, Paul understood something that Jesus had taught. If you confess me before men, I will confess. This is from Matthew 10, 32 and 33. In Matthew 32 and 33, Jesus says, "If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father in heaven." So Jesus says, listen, if you don't confess me, I'm not going to confess you. You deny me, I'm going to deny you. So someone might be saying, okay, I get it. Evangelism isn't a bad word, right? So Pastor Randy, where do I start? I want to share my faith. Where I begin? Well, pray. Prayer is a great place to begin. In fact, it should always begin with prayer. Pray for opportunities. God, open the door. Give me opportunities where I can share my faith. Give me the words. Give me boldness. And by the way, they give me the words towards the end. We're going to have some dialogue, and I'm going to give you some tools that are going to help you in sharing your faith. But prayer is the key. Prayer is absolutely the key. One person put it this way: we best defend the Lord's glory by speaking first to Him about unbelieving men rather than speaking first about Him to unbelieving men. Before you open your mouth to share with an unbeliever about Him, you should talk to him about that unbeliever. You know, I used to do door-to-door witnessing. And when we would knock on the door, I would begin to pray. Or if I was the one doing the talking, when I'd ask a question, during that period where I'm waiting for them to answer, I would pray for this person. What we need to keep in mind when sharing our faith is that there is a twofold scriptural concept. First of all, and you're going to want to jot this down if you're taking notes, the two important tools when sharing your faith is Matthew 12, 34, when Jesus said, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." That is so important. And the second part that is important for being an effective witness, evangelist, is Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So one part that's important is out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Why? Well, because I want to hear the person's heart in order to know where I can best serve them. But secondly, faith comes by hearing what? me speak, me ramble on, me preach. No, the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. Not from what I say, but from what he says. Now, believe it or not, the first part, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, actually takes more time than the second part. Faith comes by hearing, hearing the Word of God. And you're like, what? I'll explain here in a moment. But here's the problem. The world today, in the world, the church is losing ground. More and more people are becoming atheists. More and more people are turning to Muslim religion, faith. More and more people, if they're turning to faith, they're turning to something else. And I believe that while the world is multiplying, the church is merely adding. We're adding to our numbers, but the world is multiplying. So what's our part? Well, the gospel isn't something that you come to church to hear. It's something that you take from the church to share. That's really what it's about. When we come together, this is like a spiritual pep rally. Right? Remember in school, before the big game, on that Friday before the Saturday game, or that Friday before the Friday night game, you'd have a pep rally to get everyone pumped. That's what church is supposed to be. We get pumped up on Jesus. We go out into the world to go share Jesus. And then, of course, for me and for obviously for y'all, you need a midweek pep rally because you kind of go, whoa, I'm back up again. It's like being deflated and reinflated. Listen. You know, we were all, at one time, we were not saved. No one here was born saved. You know where the need is. If you know the need, sow the seed. The seed is the Word of God, so it'll take root in people. Now, we're familiar. You should be. If you come to HBC for any length of time, I quote this all the time. Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples, right? Realize this, that failure to go is rebellion against God. When we don't go, Jesus said go, we go, nah, not today. Failure to go is rebellion against God. It's often referred to as the sin of silence, the sin of omission. Hey, Pastor Andy? Yeah. That was Paul's calling. That's not my calling. Oh, it is your calling. You, if you're a follower of Jesus, it's your calling. The Word of God over and over again tells us to be witnesses. New Testament and Old Testament. New Testament, 1 Corinthians 9:16. Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Old Testament, 1 Chronicles 16:24, declare his glory among the heathen, his marvelous works among the nations. I love the fact that in the Old Testament, it said among the heathens. Why? Because so often in the church, we look at people, oh gosh, look at, they're such heathen. We don't want them in our church. No, we do. That's exactly who we want in our church. That's me. I'm a heathen. Saved by grace. But what we often do is we look at people like, oh, they, you know, ooh, I can witness to them. They're good people. Jesus said, I came for the sick. In fact, the harder, the more sin that a person has in their life, the more readily available or readily open they are to receive the gospel. The goody two-shoes, that's the one you're going to have difficulty with. Now think about this, being a witness. Listen, if you've ever watched Perry Mason or Law and Order or any of those shows, you know a witness is someone who saw something happen, right? Witness, you just tell what you saw, what you know, what you experienced. In the church, the only one who shouldn't be a witness for Christ is he who has not witnessed Christ's salvation. If you haven't witnessed Christ's salvation, by all means, don't witness. But if you have been saved, if you've had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a witness. You're guilty of knowing Jesus, which is, means you're not guilty. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says, go to Jerusalem. Here's why. Because you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. If you are saved, you receive the Holy Spirit. Why did he give you the Holy Spirit? So that you can be a witness to people everywhere. And notice when he says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. Jerusalem, that's our Mojave Valley. Or wherever you live. If you live in Tupac, then it's Tupac. If you live in, yeah, if you live in Laughlin, then that's your Jerusalem. Judea would be where you don't live. Like for me, I live right here in Fort Mojave. Bullhead, Needles, Laughlin, those are my Judea. Samaria, that would be our America, the rest of America. And then the earth, of course, that's everywhere else. That's our missionaries. You know, we send missionaries. We have missionaries. We have one in Africa and one in Israel. Then we have in Kingman and we have in Needles. So it's awesome. But you have a part to play. We have a part to play, especially if we are in the last days. Especially. So allow me to pose a question. And this is important. I don't want you to answer. I want you to answer in your own heart. Are you ashamed of Jesus? Is that why you don't tell people? Are you ashamed to be identified as one who follows the Lord Jesus? Remember in Matthew 10, we read it. If you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. If he who denies me before men, him I also deny before my Father. He said, if you're ashamed of me, if you're not ashamed of me, I'm not ashamed of you. Now, here's a question before we go past this. Is Jesus making our salvation based on works? It sounds like it though, right? Listen, you can't be saved if you don't go tell others about me. When you get to heaven, I'm like, Father, I don't know this guy. Get him out of here. That's not what Jesus is saying, actually. Let me explain. Remember Jesus said, if you love me, you'll what? Keep my commandments. Someone whispered it. Keep my commandments. Are you ashamed of Jesus? If you love me, you will. Keep my commandments. Let's try that like you're not ashamed of Jesus. If you love me, you will.
Keep my commandments.
Okay, awesome. No one has to tell newlyweds to show the engagement ring. Nope. In fact, what do newlyweds do? They take shoe polish and they write newly married on their window. Sometimes they even put a bunch of empty tin cans on the back of their car. So in case you missed it, what was that noise? Oh, newly married. No one has to tell them. No one has to tell a new mommy or daddy to show people pictures of their little baby. Nobody has to tell them. Why? Love doesn't have to be told. Love just does. So Jesus says, listen, if you love me, you will proclaim me. Why? That's what newlyweds do. That's what parents who love their new little baby do. So he's saying, listen, if you confess me before others, that's because you really love me. That's because you've met me. But if you deny me, well, I don't, you know, it's because you haven't met the Lord. You're not in love with him. You're ashamed of him. That's what he's saying. He's not saying it's works-based. It's saying it's love-based. Is there... Don't get me wrong. Getting married, fantastic. Having a baby, beautiful. But is there a greater experience in life than coming to know the creator of the universe and knowing you will have eternal life? I venture to say there isn't. It's the experience that will change you for eternity, not just for the moment or for 40 years or 18 years if you're raising a child. Charles Spurgeon asked this question: have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you're not saved yourself, that's for sure. He says, be sure of that. Wow. Samuel said this when they were coronating, at the coronation of Saul as king. Here's what Saul said. What Samuel said in 1 Samuel 12:20. He's the priest. He says, as for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you, and I will teach you the way that is good and right. He says, listen, I love the Lord. I'm telling you the truth about your choice of a different king. He goes, I'm going to be praying for you, and I'm going to be showing you the way to live righteously. That's what Christians are to do. That's what we're to do once we met Jesus. We're to be praying for the lost. We're to be speaking to them. We're to be showing them what it looks like. And let me quote you from The Christian Theology in Plain Language, a book called that. It's called The Christian Theology in Plain Language. It says this: it's easy to determine when something is aflame, it ignites other materials. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. A church without evangelism is a contradiction in terms, just as a fire that does not burn is a contradiction. It's true. When fire is ignited, it starts consuming. It starts spreading. As soon as there's nowhere else for it to spread, it dies out. That's what happens in our Christian life. You can get on fire for the Lord, but if you don't start spreading that fire, eventually you fizzle out. It happens far too often in churches and in believers. But Pastor Randy, it's hard sometimes. Listen, people get offended, and I don't like making waves. I don't want to rock the boat. Don't rock the boat, baby. And I'll stop. Don't rock the boat. You know, the song said, don't rock the boat. No, I'm telling you, Jesus said, rock that boat. Rock it. Listen, right after Jesus said, confess me before men and I'll confess, he says this, right after he finished that, in Matthew 10:34, do not think that I came to bring peace. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. Jesus is saying, I came to rock the boat. Rock the boat. Tip the boat over. Turn their life around. I'm going to do a 180. And by the way, the sword that he says he came to bring, that is the word of God. And I'm going to tell you, the word of God offends the sinner every single time. But Jesus also said this: whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. Revelation that we're looking at. We're in a couple weeks, we start to get into the nitty-gritty of the commotion of what people, maybe even some of your loved ones, will have to experience if they don't come to saving faith. So, with that in mind, if everyone here is saved, and I hope you are, God's given you his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's in you, and the Holy Spirit's going, let's go, let's go, let's go. He wants to get going. He wants us to share. He wants us to talk about Jesus. But here's what I know from my own life, from people that I know, and probably from you, it is hard. Sometimes it's very hard. Sometimes we run into opposition, like one day we do it, and we run into opposition, and we lose. We're like, oh, man, you know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm not good at this. Listen, being successful at sharing your faith is not winning someone to Christ. It's simply opening your mouth. Less than 10% of the church is actively talking about Jesus to the lost. Less than 10%. That's sad. I don't want HBC to be, I don't want us to be a part of that statistic. I'd love for our church to be, let's go for broke, 20%. Woohoo! No! 50%, 60%, 70%. Why not 80% of HBCers share their faith? Because we're not ashamed of Christ. We know that he is the power to eternal life. We know that how happy we were when we accepted Jesus. We're like, oh man, I got Jesus. This is awesome. Hey, don't you want some of this awesomeness? That's how we should be towards those that we know do not know. Now, here's what I want to do. If the ushers can grab some microphones. We all have difficulty. So what I want to do right now is I want to ask you to give me some examples from your own life. Maybe some family members. Maybe someone you know that has posed a difficulty for you. And I'm going to help you by giving you some advice on how you can handle that situation. I'm going to give you some tools that you can hang on your belt so that next time you have a conversation with Billy Bob or Susie Chapstick, you'll have some things, you'll have some ways that you can respond. So, if anyone out there has an experience with a family member or a coworker or a neighbor or a friend that you said, you know what, I don't know how to deal with this. If you can share with us right now, I'll give you some tools on how you can handle it. Yes, great. Right over here.
My son.
Okay.
Doesn't believe. He believes in evolution.
Yes.
And if I try to speak to him, he just says, I don't want to hear it. Like, shut up, Mom.
Wow.
Don't say another word. I mean, he doesn't say that, but he says, I don't want to hear it.
Okay. And my suggestion to you, here's my suggestion. Rather than trying to go and memorize a bunch of facts about the fossil record and carbon dating and all that, what you want to do is we want to go back to, hang on. Oh, yes. Okay. We want to go back to out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what I want to do, if I'm talking to your son, I want to find out what's in their heart. What's your son's name? Philip. Okay. Yes. Thank you. I just remembered that. Okay. So I go, Philip, so why don't you want to hear it? What is it about Jesus that bothers you? Well, I think it's a fairy tale and it's fake. And just let him ramble on. And while he's rambling, you listen intently. Because in all of that mess, you're going to hear where his heart is hurting. Especially if you're like, Lord, while he's talking, you're in your heart, you don't interrupt him. Lord, I'm praying for Phil. Don't do that out loud. In your heart, you can say, Lord, where is he hurting? What is it in his heart that shut down? Because what God will do while you're praying that, God will allow his mouth to let that abundance come out. And then you know, one, where you can isolate your prayers to, and God will bring to remembrance scriptures that will address his situation. Okay, but that's the open door. Okay, don't try to defend the Bible. The Bible will defend itself. Listen, there have been kings and rulers who have said, we will extinguish the Bible, we'll burn the Bible, we'll do this. And yet the Bible still stands without any help from you and I. Nobody can defeat the Bible. So, I don't want to defend the Bible. What I want to do is find out what's in Philip's heart. Where is it hurting? What is it that's got him shut down to God? Because here's what we know. Romans says God has put the understanding and the belief of God in every man's heart. So we have to fight against that in order to not believe. We have to give ourselves over to heinous sin. And I'll tell you this, Philip probably has some sin. Mom, I'm sorry, but Philip probably has some sin that he's just, or sins, plural, that he just loves too much, and he don't want to give them up. So come at that angle. God, show me his heart and say, Philip, you know I've talked to you before. Don't talk. Okay. We have two ears and how many mouths? One. We should listen twice as much. But you know what the biggest problem for most Christians? Their zeal, which is good. I love the zeal. But sometimes what we'll do is we'll talk more than we listen. And that shuts people off. It's like, blah, blah, blah. We give little mini sermons. But how about everybody loves to talk about themselves, especially, well, mainly unsaved people. Unsaved people, all they want to do, you say, so tell me what you believe. Oh, you want to know what I believe? I believe this and that. Really interesting. What else? If they said Jesus was a fake and a phony and the Bible's a lie, say, why? Why do you say that? Why do you say that? Why would you say the Bible's a lie? Have you ever read it? He's read the whole thing? He says he has. Okay, Philip, what part do you have a problem with? I'm sorry? No, of course he didn't, because I tried to read the Bible too before I was saved, and it didn't do me any good until I got saved. So what you got to say is, if he says, I've read the whole thing, okay, so which part? What part do you have a problem with? Okay? And he says, well, you want him to express what problem he had. He might have a legitimate problem. Here's a big problem for atheists. I have a real hard problem believing in a flood and that you got two of every kind of animals on the boat, right? Isn't that a common? Okay, well, then I'd say to the atheist, well, I have a problem believing all this came from nothing, that we came from goo, right? From goo to the zoo to you. I have a problem with that. To me, it takes more faith to believe we started as goo and now we have complex brains that can create and invent and do all these things. So I'm going to ask him why. What do you have? What problem do you have with the scripture? What is it? You ask him and then let him, well, this and that. Okay, well, why do you have a problem with that? I have a problem with Noah's Ark. Why do you have a problem with that? Okay, yes.
He did. When he went into the service, he said he went to church when he was little. But he said when he got into the service, he says, you go out there, Mom, and he said, there's all kinds of religions. I said, yes, there are. Mm-hmm. But there's only one real God and real religion or faith, not religion. And where
sure.
He lost it in the service is beyond mm-hmm. me. I don't understand that.
Sure. Yeah. But you just got to ask him. So there's all kinds of religions. Okay. So how do the other ones sound the same as Christ? I mean, how do you compare them? They're all different except Christianity. And why do you believe that Christianity is wrong? Tell me why it's wrong. And let him talk and listen. And while you're doing that, pray. Anyone else? That's a good one. Right here in front.
My husband, he's been through so much bad stuff in his life that he feels like if God really cared about him, that he wouldn't have allowed him to go through all that.
Okay. We're a part of a fallen world. And probably, I'm going to guess that most of the stuff he endured involved other people. God doesn't force anyone to do the right thing. Because listen, we would hate it. An atheist would hate it if God forced them to love him. That, besides that, it wouldn't be love. So like the murderer, you know, we go, oh, this murderer came in and he killed a baby and my family. Okay, well, the baby went straight to heaven. Never to experience hunger or famine. Never to be treated like your husband was treated. But we can't say because God gives man free will that God's responsible for man. Men are going to do evil things, and God grieves. That's why it's incumbent upon us to share Christ, because if I get someone saved, then they, in turn, will not do evil things, or as evil. You know, no one's perfect. But what was your name?
Pam.
Pam. Okay, Pam. Here's the thing. Your husband, 1 Peter chapter 3 says, wives, submit to your husband as unto the Lord, even if some do not obey the word, that they, without a word, may be won by the conduct of the wife. So, you are obviously a believer. You want your husband so desperately to become a believer. The best thing you could do is pray for him, be humble and submissive, and know that you're leaving an example. But pray for him earnestly. I'm sure you do. And one day, your husband will be in that seat next to you instead of it being empty. But in the meantime, just know this. If he says, why would God allow this? Because God gives everyone free will. That's what's beautiful about God. Forced love. I say this all the time. Forced love is not love. It's rape. And it's not love at all. God's not going to force himself onto us unwillingly. He wants us to love him reciprocally. He loves us unconditionally. We have to be reciprocal. We love him because he first loved us. But know this, your faithfulness, your faith could lead your husband to the Lord. And we don't have to you don't have to argue with him over it. You just got to pray for him. And every now and then, just drop a question in his lap. We have another hand up. Did I see your hand up? No? You were stretching? If you stretch, I'm going to call on you. Anyone else? No one else? So that means we got a hand up back there. I was going to say, please don't tell me none of you share your faith.
My neighbor believes that, you know, him being a good person, he says, I follow my heart. And by that, he believes he should go to heaven, if there is such a place, he says. So I know Romans 3 says there's no one that's good, right? Not all of our hearts are fallen. But what else would you say?
Okay, well, first of all, what's your name?
Ryan.
Ryan. Okay, Ryan. So your neighbor says he's a good person, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and he says if there's a heaven, he would go.
Yes.
Okay, two problems. First of all, if there's a heaven, and there is, then there's a God, and there is. And if there's a God, then Jesus Christ is his son, and he died on the cross. Now, if you and I could get to heaven by being good persons, then Jesus died for nothing. But let's pull the carpet of a good person out from under his feet. And here's how you do it. You know the Ten Commandments, or familiar with them? Okay, you don't even have to have them memorized. Go ask someone like this. Ryan, I'm going to use you, by the way. Ryan, have you ever told a lie?
Yep.
We all have. What do you call someone who tells a lie?
A liar.
Have you ever stolen something? Even to take something, a dollar?
Yeah.
Okay, we all have. You know, maybe you're at work. You're instead of working, you're talking and goofing off. You know, playing, you know, Pokemon on your phone or whatever. That's stealing from your boss. So yes, what do you call someone who's stolen?
A thief.
A thief. Have you ever like stubbed your toe or hit your finger and used God's name as a cuss word?
Yep.
Most people have, if not all. God says that's blasphemy. One more. I don't want to embarrass you, but here you go. I don't want to embarrass you, but I'm gonna. You ever look at someone you're not married to with the sexual thought? That, Jesus says, is adultery in the heart. So, good neighbor, you're a lying, thieving, blasphemer, and an adulterer at heart. If God is a righteous judge and is going to judge you, then you would be guilty or innocent by his commandments.
Guilty.
But there you go. So you are guilty just like I am. But like a good neighbor, State Farm isn't there. Jesus is there. Jesus is there. He's our insurance. The Lord Jesus is our insurance. Neighbor, I want to tell you there's good news because we're both sinners. You can have Jesus Christ is the way he paid for your sins. That's how you'll know that you go to heaven because there is a heaven. Is that helpful?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, it's easy. Listen, it's easy to remember the Ten Commandments. You know, you don't have to know them all. Even this, you go, hey, as you were growing up, did you honor your father and mother? Yeah, that teenager. Teenagers. No. No, we all broke that. You know, you ever covet? You know, someone else got that new Porsche. I know some of you are like, Porsche? Okay. Whatever, a Lamborghini. And you're like, oh, a little bit of jealousy in your heart. That, or they got the promotion you wanted. Listen, all of that is sin. We've fallen short. The Ten Commandments are not a rule to live by. They're to show us that we need a Savior, okay? So there you go. I hope that helps. Any others? Yes, right here.
Okay, my problem is I read the Bible, I pray and everything. But when I go out and talk about Christ, right away, they say, well, you know, you want to talk about Christ, but yet you do this, you do that, and then the guilt comes in. You know, oh, I can't do it because you're right. I've done this, I've done that. Why do I have the right to go say this and that when I do what they say I do? It's like what Paul says, the things I want to do.
Yeah, I don't do. Yes, the things I shouldn't do, those things I practice. Oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Let him hang on to the, because he might have additional questions. Okay, so when we're all sinners, so when you're talking to that person and they're saying, yeah, but you do this, I go, yeah, I know. That's why I need a Savior, and so do you. None of us are perfect. None of us are right. In fact, if you, them, speaking of them, if they find the perfect church and join it, they've just ruined it. It's no longer perfect because there is no perfect church. We're all sinners. Billy Graham was a sinner till the day he died. He'd tell you that himself. We're all sinners. What the devil does is he comes and whispers and says, who are you to be sharing Christ? You're not good. You're not good enough. And where did Jesus say, be good enough? Therefore, be good enough and go to all the nations. No, he just says, go. Get going. Because here's what happens. When I start sharing, and if I lead someone to the Lord, now I have a responsibility to disciple them. And as I'm discipling them, it helps me to walk more upright because they're depending on me. Kind of like a parent. When two people get married and they see other people with children, it's like, oh, cute. And they hold the little baby for a moment and then they give it back. But when you have your baby, you have to grow up really fast. You have to learn to be that adult. You have to learn the right and the wrong things through trial and error. Same thing happens with our Christian walk. When you lead someone to the Lord and they're a newborn babe, now you have the responsibility to help them grow and be a good example to them to follow. Listen, the reason why, God doesn't need us to lead others to the Lord. He could have done it without us. He could send an angel across the sky and say, give your life to the Lord, and people would give. But he allows us because it helps us grow along with the person that we lead to the Lord. So that's a great question. Don't worry about if you're good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect. I don't have my life all together, but I'm striving, and that's the walk, the Christian walk, is striving. It's doing what we can to please him because we love him, not because we have to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but it's really hard.
No, go put the mic.
It's hard sometimes. You know, it's for me, it's hard. I don't know about
anybody. Oh, no, it's easy. It's easy. Oh, yeah, it's a breeze. Christianity, oh, so easy. Is there anything easier than being a Christian? No. Dude, it's hard. Why do you think it's called a battle? Why does it say put on the full armor of God? Why does it say fight the good fight? Because it's easy? No, you're going to get some bloody noses, get some teeth knocked out. You're going to get kicked when you're down. You're going to get kicked when you're up. The enemy doesn't play fair. We have to be more than conquerors. Why? Because Jesus Christ put his spirit in us. I have to stop relying on Randy Castillo and start relying on the Holy Spirit. When I rely on Randy Castillo, whack, 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 whack. Okay, I lose every time. But when I rely on the Holy Spirit, it's like victory after victory after victory in Jesus. Like that old hymn says, there's victory in Jesus. There is. So don't let the enemy defeat you. It's propaganda. During the war, they would have Hanoi Jane doing the propaganda, trying to get the soldiers to feel defeated. No, you're American. You're Christian. Beyond American. You're a Christian. We're God's soldiers. Don't let the enemy brainwash you or heartwash you when you've been blood washed by Christ. Does that make sense? All right. Good question. Thank you. And someone else. Yes, right up front.
Yeah, our son has been to church ever since he was in arms, and he knows the Bible, knows Scripture, but he's really enjoying his life right now. And he says he's good enough, but when we say, well, you know, that's not good enough. You need to accept God. You need to. But he says, when I read the book, the Bible, he says, and I go to the book of Job, and he says, that just puts a wall in front of me. He says, Job was so good. He says, I don't think I could be that good to take what Job took and still come out on the other side. That was the last excuse.
Well, I'm glad you recognize it as an excuse, because I would say, and God knows you can't handle it. That's why you're not going through it. You see, God knows you can't handle it, and therefore he's not going to make you go through it. Thank you, Lord. I couldn't go through what Job went through with flying colors like he did. Job was one of a kind, right? Because we only hear about one job in the Bible. That job belonged to Job. Okay? So for your son, I love the fact that you recognize that as an excuse, because that's all that is. Son, you're not going through that. So why are you looking at his life and trying to live vicariously through him? That's what he's doing. He's using Job as his out. God allowed Job to go through that. You know why? Anyone know why God allowed Job to go through that? For us. For us, to be that example for us. And here's the thing. Maybe in your life, you lose your kids in a horrible accident. You lose your health. You lose your finances. You lose your house. This life isn't all there is. In fact, when we go to heaven, I say this all the time, we're going to look down at this little tiny ball of dirt and go, we made such a stink about that stink. Compared to heaven, you can have a mansion here. Compared to heaven, it looks like the ghetto. Compared to heaven. And when we get to heaven, we'll be there forever. But what we do is we go, oh gosh, you know, so-and-so, you know, the little baby. Why would God take a baby at 1 year old? I'm like, why didn't he take me when I was one? I could have bypassed all the garbage in this life. It's because we're too heavenly bound. Everything revolves around heaven. So your son, I don't want to go through what Job went through. Okay, well, you're not. You're not going through what Job went through. But you are not responding even without going through what Job went through. Job stayed faithful to God. You're not. Why? Why, mijo? Mijo, tell me now. Tell me, mijo, before I hit you with the chancla. Anyways, No, ask him why. What is it? What is it that changed your mind about God? It can't be Job, because you're not Job. So what is it? Just level with me. And I'll even go so far as to say this. Look him in the eye. What's his name?
Chris.
Look at me in the eye. Say, Chris, there's sin that you love too much to give up for God. I'd look him in the eye and say, the reason why you're rejecting God is you love your sin. Just the next time you're sinning, look at that sin and say, I love you more than that. See what happens. Okay, that was good. That was a good one. Anyone else? Yes, got one more. Same boy? Okay. Wait. You need a microphone.
My favorite is he says that because he knows all the predictions and revelations and everything like that, well, when it comes time for me to die for Christ, I will die for him.
Nope.
I will die for him. And that's what I said. If you don't live for him, you aren't going to die for him.
Right.
But that's what he comes. Yes, I will.
Prove it. Give up your sin and come to Jesus now. Prove it. Because I'll tell you what, you know, I've heard that too before. You know what? Maybe God wants me to be one of the people who go through Revelation so I can proclaim the truth. Whack, 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 whack. No. You're making excuses. If you're not going to have faith now, you won't have faith then. You won't have faith then. So, oh, yes, you did have your hand up.
I have a very diverse family, a large one, and there's Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses. For me to talk to them about God, it's always a spiritual fight because they yell louder than I do. I just let them talk for a while, and then I say what I want to say, but then they jump back again. My youngest brother became a Jehovah's Witness about 12 years old. And he told me one day that Jesus Christ was an angel. But I know that there's God's word in Revelation that says that something to the effect that what angel did that God give power to, or something to that effect. My problem when I talk to them is that I don't always remember the book or the phrase, but I know it's there. So I feel like I fail God all the time because I forget the word. And I know it's there because I think that's what God put it there for Jehovah's Witnesses.
Sure.
But I could be wrong.
Sure. Well, by the way, in Revelation chapter 1, I think it was my second or third teaching in Revelation. You can go listen to it online. I give you a quick little string of verses that'll blow their socks off almost every time. Every time. And I tell a little story about a Jehovah's Witness I was witnessing to and the pizza we missed out on. So you go listen to that message.
Okay.
But it's powerful. It leaves them speechless. Usually they'll go, I'll be back next week, and they'll never come back to your house if they knock on your door. If you didn't hear it, go back. I think it was the second Revelation chapter 1. I did three sections. So if it's not it's the second one. Go listen to that, and you'll get some tools. But you said something. You said you feel like you failed God.
Okay. Yes, because I try to teach them what I already learned, because I have studied quite a bit, but I forget.
Memory,
I keep asking God to bless me with a better memory, because how can I share his word if I forget what I want to share? I mean, and I can't say somewhere in God's word, because I know it's there, but, you know, it's like I have a sister who used to always tell me, I swear on God's Bibles, and she always would tell me that she didn't believe that the word of God was complete or truthful.
Right.
So I told her one day, how can you swear on God's word, on God's Bible, if you say it's not true?
Right.
So what you're doing is you're lying.
Yeah. Excuse me one second. Hey, Jen, can you go to my office, and on the bookshelf, close to the right side, there are the three sharing Bibles that I have. I'm going to show you a little trick. Okay. And I'll show all of y'all a little trick so you don't have to remember anything, but they'll think you're a Bible wizard. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Wow, but okay. Let me just say this. If you have experienced Jesus Christ, you know enough. Because you knew enough for you to get saved, then that's enough for someone else to get saved. Do I have to memorize chapter and verse and all this? No. Someone, if you go to the person that the Holy Spirit's working on and you say, Jesus loves you and you need to surrender your life to him. If the Holy Spirit working, that could be all you need to say to break them down. Now, that doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit wasn't working before. They say that the average person is witnessed to around 7 times before they actually surrender. How they figured that out, I don't know, but I've read that statistic several places. They say an average of 7 times. That's why I may come and plant, she may water, she may harvest. We all get to, but we all get credit. Yay! We all get credit for the saved life, which is wonderful. So, did I tell her left-hand side or right-hand side? I think it was the right-hand side. If I said left, shame on me. Anyways, okay. So anyways, you just need to do this. You just need to be faithful to open your mouth when the opportunity arises. And most importantly, pray. Pray before, pray during, pray after. Pray. Prayer is the key. Now, let me show you. Thank you, my love. All right. So, I have a lot of them. So, here's a little share Bible. And just FYI, I like a little Bible like this. What does this look like? Checkbook. But if I have Big Boomer... First of all, I'm not going to carry this around with me, okay? And if I pull this out, people get intimidated. You know, you might as well have pulled out a shotgun, okay? But if I have this in my back pocket, and when I worked at Crane Company, I would keep this one in my truck and one in my pocket. And then if an opportunity arose and there was an opportunity to share, I'd go, wah, 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 wah. Okay. So, in this Bible, in my little dagger, first of all, there's a ribbon. So it's set to where I want to start. Now, this is only for sharing. If you look at some of my study Bibles, and I have quite a few, there are marks in them and highlights in different places. This is only for witnessing. So what I'll do is I'll go up to the person and say, because faith comes by. Hearing what? The word of God. So I don't want to use my opinion or anything. So if I have a Jehovah's Witness friend, I'll have this marker or a different marker for Jehovah's Witness. So what I have is I have here the first verse I want them to read. And if for some reason they're uncomfortable reading, I'll say, I'll read it for you, but follow along and read it. But I want them to read it because if they're reading it, they're hearing the word of God from their own mouth. They're reading it with their own eyes. So when they're reading upside down in the margin, you can't see it, but upside down in the margin is the next Bible verse I want to go to. So while they're reading that and they read it, I go, oh, the next place I'm going is Romans 3:23. So then I go, so what does that mean to you? And I'm flipped to Romans 3:23. Guess when I get to Romans 3:23, what's there? Another verse when I flip it upside down. And it's upside down, so they don't pay any attention to it, but I see it. And then pretty soon I'm flipping them through the Bible, and they're thinking, man, Bible scholar. Okay? So go listen to my second teaching in Revelation chapter 1. Go out and invest in a little Bible and then mark them one after the other in the order that I give them to you. And then when you have go, hey, let me show you something. What does it say here? And by the time you're done, just like that guy when we were having the pizza, you'll hear about it in the story, said, get out. After he said, Jesus is God, a Jehovah's Witness. He said, get out. And I cried because I wanted pizza really bad. So, okay, let me begin to wrap up. Great question. I hope that was helpful to y'all. Was that helpful? Okay, all right. So,
listen.
Yes. Yeah, I will hold. I have an actual class that's all about this, these books. But I have to finish BCF. When BCF is done, I'll take a break, 1 week break, and then we'll have this class. You'll love the class. It's awesome. Anyways, listen, Remember this. We are in a fight. We have to fight the good fight of faith. Remember, there are two kinds of people. There are believers and unbelievers. Not Republican and Democrat, not black and white. There are believers in Christ and unbelievers. That's it. And then there, once you're a Christian, there's two kinds of Christian. There are those who talk to the lost and those who talk about the lost. We don't want to be those who talk about the lost. We want to be those who talk to the lost. And then I want to do this. I want to tell you, I do this all the time. Did you know that there's three things God can't do? People go, what? I thought God can do it. No, there are three things God can't do. Here they are. God can't tell a lie. He cannot lie. God cannot dwell where there's sin. God cannot make you love him because he chooses not to. Did you know that there are four things God doesn't know? I thought God knows everything. Well, he doesn't know a sin he doesn't hate. He doesn't know a sinner that he doesn't love. He doesn't know another way to heaven but through Jesus Christ. And he doesn't know a better day than today for someone to give their life to Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to share our faith. So before I close, I want to read Ephesians chapter 6. But I'm going to start at verse 18 and I'm going to go to 20. Remember, our verse for tonight was 19. Here's what it says. Pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth with boldness to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And that is true for all of us. Listen, evangelism, it's not a bad word. It's a good word. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for wanting to use us to spread the good news about Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for putting your Holy Spirit within us so that we may live for you. Father God, thank you for helping us, Lord, to understand that we have the privilege and the honor and the responsibility to tell people about you. But why wouldn't we, Lord, when we love you, when you've saved us, when you've helped us where we could not help ourselves? Lord, you gave us new life and a life more fuller. You gave us a promise of eternity in heaven. I can't even imagine what heaven's going to be like. But Lord, in the meantime, I do pray and do ask that you would speak to all our hearts, that each one of us, Lord, would examine our hearts and see that we're not ashamed of you, Lord. God, why would we be ashamed of you? You saved us. You died for us. You live in us. Let us not quench you or grieve you. But Lord, let us bring you glory. Father, we love you, praise you, and honor you. In Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Let's stand, sing one last song.